Welcome to Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by Blue Microphones. They look great, and they sound even better, don't they? Ooh, that sounds good. Welcome to the program. Guess who it is? Everybody knows it.
It's my buddy Andy.
That's right. It's your buddy Andy, America's little brother. As always, I'm joined by Gnarly Nick.
Bam! Bam!
The Garlic Dragon. Mm. Some of that garlic sizzle over there. Mmm. Nick, are you a garlic press guy, or do you use some kind of kitchen knife? What would that be? A chef's knife to mince?
Oh, to mince or to remove the peel?
You know, to mince.
There
to
are
mince.
Tricks to that.
Oh, they're really?
Yeah, geez. To removing the peel.
So much garlic trickery.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Oh, yeah. The mince is fine, but you got to get the giant knife and you
flatten it.
You flatten it. Yeah.
I've seen that done on TV. Never done it myself. And there's a guy over there on the end of the couch who was once described as...
He was a moocher, a card cheat, a country club golf hustler, a scumbag.
It's Chris L.
I still hear card chic.
I don't understand the issue with that sound clip.
No one can understand anything.
When someone's rattling off names like that, I'm never surprised to hear something that I've never heard before. So card chic just jumped out at me. I thought, what would be a card chic? I don't know. Maybe one day I'll run
Middle Eastern guy who plays cards.
I guess so. With a bunch of women with the bottom halves of their faces covered up.
A harem.
A harem.
Yeah, there you go.
Do they have those at the casino over here in Hammond?
I don't know.
Do they even have...
They have a back room where the card sheiks get access to.
That's what I was going to say. Do they have any kind of... Well, I doubt there's actually card sheiks, but do they have like a high roller lounge or something?
I would imagine so. Okay. Not that I would ever approach being invited in there.
No.
Well, where does Scottie Pippen go when he's there? He doesn't sit there at the tables with everybody else.
Does he not? I don't know. I would think
I
he
wouldn't
would.
Think so.
He frequents the casinos in this region.
Years ago, at least, I remember hearing stories that Scottie Pippen of Chicago Bulls World Championship fame would be spotted there. And the workers...
Which one, though?
The
Horseshoe?
Well, the Empress at the time it was called, but yeah, the Horseshoe.
Okay, over here in Hammond.
His nickname amongst the co-workers there... Allegedly was no tipping Pippin.
Well, there's no allegedly. I saw it with my own two eyes.
There you go.
When I worked at the Hard Rock, he came in a smallish entourage, but still about probably a table of eight.
That's big.
And normally that would kick in the automatic gratuity, but they weren't going to light up a Chicago Bull like that.
Mm-hmm.
Left nothing.
Really?
So
they made an exception.
Yeah,
because they're thinking this is going to be even better. If we don't put the 15% on, he's going to give us like 40%.
Well, but I don't know if that was. I think the thinking is what we've talked about before, where these people just are petrified of someone complaining to the corporate office and them losing their six-figure restaurant manager job.
Or is it?
And when Scottie Pippen complains, somebody's getting fired.
Yeah, probably.
Is it just that he's a high-profile person and it's worth it, I guess, long run?
Obviously.
People will talk about... Right. They have, But no tip whatsoever.
Nothing. Zero.
So is he like... Did nobody ever explain this to him when he was like a teenager or in his 20s going to restaurants?
Nick.
Did nobody explain that you're supposed to do this to him?
Oh, Nick. So naive. There are reasons for this, which I can't get into for fear I'll never be hired on Saturday Night Live.
Wow.
But actually, a sociology professor of my wife's when she was in college, an African-American fellow, explained it to her. And I will explain it to you offline one of these days.
Yeah, it's
a real thing, and that's all I'm going to say.
Is it excusable in your opinion?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Mainly for the fact that when a server doesn't get tipped on a bill of that size, especially, they end up losing money.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's okay. There may be some sort of some sort of reason that's spread around, but I don't see any excuse for it.
Well, I'll fill you in offline. I don't feel like going down on something that's being beamed out to the planet.
Yeah, instead of that, let's just say that as far as tipping goes, Scottie Pippen is a...
total waste of skin and life.
Yeah, he's not the only one, but... No,
total fucking dewclaw.
Well, you see that bill at the end with a zero in the gratuity.
The zero with a line through it.
Do you think he bothers putting the zero?
Probably not. Who knows? But I just remember he got nothing.
Why is there this extra line there?
Got nothing.
I'll just put a check mark here, I guess.
Yeah. I think he wrote just the in front of the tip.
Comma.
Tip, and that was it.
And he drew a wiener on
it. Exactly.
Arrow pointing.
Andy drew a middle finger on one of my bills when I went to eat at Chris's cafe one time. Gave me the bill. I still have it.
Do you?
Wow. Have it somewhere. It's middle finger on it.
Oh yeah.
That's the kind of thing Yahoo wants to know about these days.
You could probably put that up and it would become a viral story.
I should.
Yeah.
And for that reason, nothing nefarious about what I alluded to, but in this day and age of extreme sensitivity, what's the point of even discussing it? You can't even have any disparate opinions. You can't even have a discussion without somebody demanding someone be fired, someone witnessing someone's life being ruined, their livelihood taken away. What's the point?
Who has the energy to get that involved over people they know nothing? They don't know personally. They have nothing to do with the story.
The internet has revealed the human race to be a very angry group of beings.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
I have no time to go on the internet and complain about things. You know why? Don't you think I got enough
bullshit on my mind? Yes, what we've talked about must be nice for that to rocket to the top of your priority list on any given day.
You don't have bills or work or family or whatever.
Instead, you're concerned about what some dipshit comedian said on a podcast a year ago that got him fired from SNL a week after he was hired.
How dare him? How dare him?
Exactly.
I can't believe I enjoy something Rahm Emanuel has said.
Yep,
I just still can't believe it. I'm a big fan right now.
And that was right at the very end of his term.
Yeah, I just for that, I'm somewhat of a fan.
And he's the only person I've ever heard it say it like that. It's how dare he, isn't it?
I've never heard how dare him in my life. Well, and I like that he doubled down on it.
He did.
Yes, he certainly did.
He didn't stutter and correct it.
He was hot that day.
Yeah,
that's one of the best speeches by any politician ever.
Yeah?
I'm going to go on record and say that.
Over the Jussie Smollett scandal.
Another thing that raised the ire of millions of people around the world.
Let's see. There's nothing to fear but fear itself. We have
one small step for mankind, for man or whatever.
Ask not what you can do, what your country can do for you.
I have a dream.
And then how dare him.
But by the 9.5 fingered former mayor of Chicago.
Well, in my opinion, he etched his spot in political speech history. Exclusive company he's joined.
Absolutely right.
Well, how about that, guys? You know what? It's back to normal this week. No group discussion beforehand with what song we're going to do based on any kind of news. Back to the listener submission list, and we will choose a random number. And today, Chris is going to be either approving this choice or shooting it down.
I guess I gotta amble on over there.
Head on over here. And let's see what you think of this, but let me just get this clip ready just in case you don't like it. Alright. So this is right here. We've got this number, 626.
Hmm. This is the Peter Criss book. Are there that many pages?
Bushwicked.
It's gone.
All right. It's been bushwhacked. Move along to
the next trick. Woe to whoever suggested that one.
Just so everybody knows, my intention here is to pick something that will rip apart because it's been a while since we had a real dog on here, so that's what I'm looking for.
Looking for a dog.
Well, there's I looked at the list earlier today. There are a few of those. Perhaps more than a few. Perhaps more than 9.5. Rahm Emanuel could not count it on both hands.
This one? That's the winner?
It is.
Okay.
All right.
Wow, second choice. You know, honestly, with this format, I thought it's going to be an hour and a half of nope. But it's been... It's only been, like, at max, like, three choices we've gone through before we selected one. So somehow it's working itself out.
Well, and when I said I wanted a dog, we got one. Okay. Now, everybody knows what it is already. Mm-hmm. I'm sure people are just chomping at the bit to hear the rest of this episode.
I am the only one in this room who does not know. Yeah. So I'm looking
Andy
forward
can
to
read
this.
It off because I can't remember what album this is on. So okay. You have all the information.
This is exciting.
All right.
Yeah, this is this is couldn't have asked
just
for a better one.
Gauging
really.
Chris's expression right now, I'm pretty excited
it's
myself.
It's too good to be true.
All right, well, let's turn the microphone over to AEW World Champion Chris Jericho.
All right, Harold, this one's called
Up for Breakfast.
Off of
Best of Both Worlds
by the band
Van Halen.
This is too good to be true because this is one Chris has brought up multiple times as an example of the worst lyrics of all time.
I, every time the subject of absolutely awful lyrics come up, this one is top of mind.
Wow.
So some of the worst lyrics ever penned. And what year did this come out? Can you find the year this came out
what
and find
this,
the Best of Both Worlds Greatest Hits
package? Oh, so this was an augmentation to a Greatest Hits collection?
Well, yeah. You know how it is.
Yeah.
All the Greatest Hits albums have
like
a
Me Wise Magic.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Like Making Love Out of Nothing at All?
Yeah, or sure. Side 4 of Alive 2,
there you
which
go.
Sort of set the tone for it. But what year did this album come out, and what year was Sammy Hagar born? I need this.
This was 2004.
Yeah,
this album
that
came
recent,
out
huh?
In 2004.
Yeah.
Sammy Hagar, I think he's got to be in his 70s. Let me see here. 1947.
So that would make him
71 as of right,
right
now.
But in 2004 he was so 56
57
all right whatever
yeah.
Mid to late 50s year old man wrote these lyrics.
Okay, so that's what we're getting
at
here.
That's what I was getting at.
Okay,
and,
gotcha.
Unbelievable stuff.
The Gary Cherone era was not represented on this album.
Then it would have to be the Best of Three Worlds.
That's
and
true.
There really wasn't much best of on that third world.
No Mitch Malloy recording.
I mean, I tried to sit through that album, pulled it up on YouTube, the full album Van Halen 3. I had to tap out like three songs in.
What's wrong with it?
Hard to explain, but it's just and I like weird albums. I like weird incarnations of bands. That was just too much to take. This, on the other hand, is worse than anything on that album. Certainly lyrically, possibly the worst lyrics of any song ever.
It's an interesting mixture of songs on this Greatest Hits, too.
Yeah. It's not bad.
Black and Blue made it.
It's not a bad tune.
No, I'm not knocking it, but I'm just surprised because that They don't. That's not one that they. I guess they did play it live on that tour. Probably
that was the first single from that album. Actually, I believe.
Not, and I'm not saying this to be funny, but I, a guy that I knew, he who passed away several years ago, I walked into his wake, and they were playing music that he liked, and Black and Blue was playing over the Radiohead speaker. So that was kind of a surreal thing to walk into a wake and hear Black and Blue by
Did
Van
that
Halen.
Bum you out, or was that
no? Like I just thing? I thought like, okay, this yeah, I'm sure he liked this song, and well, I mean, I like it too. So, but that was just kind of a you know, surreal moment. But we got Up for Breakfast.
So obviously you're going to have the lyrics pulled up. Mm-hmm, yeah, that's essential here.
Written by
Samuel Hagar, right?
For some reason it says Wait, why is it A? Oh, no, that's Alex Van Halen. Okay, yeah, Sammy Hagar, Alex Van Halen, and Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah, okay.
Michael Anthony does not get any of the credit or blame for this one, I suppose.
Yeah, he wisely stayed out of this one.
So one thing I want to mention real quick before we get into it, we had this song on the list twice. Two different people sent it in. One was Jim and one was Bill, both guys who apparently didn't want their last names.
Exactly. They don't want this traced back to them either.
Yeah.
But, any comments offered by either of them?
So Jim just says, funny song.
Yeah, well, that's one way to interpret it.
Bill says, since you reviewed the entire Kiss discography filled with plenty of peanut-filled turds, why not review this shit show also?
Well, okay, here it is.
Nobody has submitted this, and Chris has not selected it, and nobody has submitted it as a song that they are pumped to listen to. Nobody's claiming that this is high quality.
Greg Troy and chimes in on it.
I think I've only listened to this maybe once or twice just to hear some of the lyrics, but I forgot it, so it's going to be almost like listening to a new song for me.
Well, just astonishingly bad, starting with the title. I mean, the minute you see a song title like that, you have to reject it immediately. There's nothing...
Up for Breakfast. Well, Well, I guess we'll get into it when we get into the lyrics, but I'm assuming it's a sexual pun.
Well, geez,
that's all you can
real reach there, Nick.
Up for Breakfast. But you have to usually go to the bathroom when you get up. This is a little strange to me.
Depends on, you know, there's multiple interpretations of the word up early in the morning. We've talked about this, where you have to bend over at a 90 degree angle to actually get the urine stream in the toilet. It's pretty much what we're talking about here, but just poorly, clumsily executed. Horrible stuff.
He's
got to be consistently one of the worst lyricists across the board. You know, great guy by all accounts. Did some great stuff with Van Halen. Great stuff in his solo career. Iconic songs. Great stuff with Montrose. But the lyrics are just as bad as it gets.
Across
consistently.
The board, huh? Consistently.
I mean, not everything he's ever done, but most of the stuff he's done is lyrically at bottom of the barrel.
Black and Blue is, I do, bringing it up again, I do like that song, always have, but thinking about the lyrics, pretty terrible.
Yeah. I mean, it's just heavy-handed innuendo. I mean, like the polar opposite of like a Bon Scott, who just so geniusly addressed those topics. This is the opposite of that. And this is the best/worst example that could possibly have come up. So,
was this the only new song on this Greatest Hits, or were there a couple?
I do not know.
There's a song. I think the song after it.
There was not a new Roth song on this. I'm pretty convinced of that.
There's a song after this called "Learning to See," which I don't think
probably.
And there's a song called "It's About Time," which I don't know if I know that one either. I'm not a Van Halen expert, but I do know.
Okay.
I mean, well.
Are you familiar with the song, Andy?
Have never heard it? No, I've just heard the title from you guys.
You've never even considered the lyrics before?
I've never looked them up. I have no idea what it's about. I just can assume what it's about, like Nick said. But
yeah, well, get ready. It's unbelievable.
Well, it looks like those three songs, as far as I can tell, just, you know, quickly on Wikipedia, it's not referencing an album that they're from. It's referencing every other song's original album.
Yeah. Well, we could get to the bottom of it, but
who gives a shit?
Yeah, it's really just been wasted effort.
Been waiting to
We'll see how it measures up to Can't Get This Stuff. What is it? Can't Get This Stuff Around
No
Here
More.
No More. Yeah.
All right, you guys ready?
I am more than ready. Yeah. All right.
Okay, so off the bat, we're getting a nod to Why Can't This Be Love? Mm-hmm. Sounds like the intro to that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you're listening to this, and if you're not really looking at the track list, then you think it's Why Can't This Be Love?
Yeah.
And then if you are looking at the track listing, you're like, why would they do something identical to that? But, you know, conscious nod to it, who knows? But, you know.
Yeah, that's
what we're getting.
That is interesting, and I want to say that song is on this album. Let me just verify. So that's
there's a lot of material on this.
Yeah,
there's two discs. It's on disc two.
You know, it'd be kind of like doing a song that's not Hot for Teacher, but doing that same funny car drum intro. It's like kind of weird. But
yeah.
What we're getting. Say there.
You want to read it next?
I heard the first one was discernible, but
well, then he doubles down on the messianic pun. She treats me like a personal Jesus. Got the hand, put it where it's gonna heal ya.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Is this some sort of I can't remember what they call that, but is this some allusion to the nail wound in the hand of Jesus?
That's stigmata, but I think it's like healing someone, like a leper or something.
Oh, okay. Like a Benny Hinn move.
Or an actual Jesus move.
I mean, that's a Bible.
Him too, but, you know. Jesus, Benny Hinn, same thing.
Yeah.
But,
they both had private jets.
Yeah,
and, it was a scandal.
They were both black. just kidding.
Wait, hold on.
Did they go to the casino?
What movie was that from?
I don't know.
Is it from a movie? There's a song during the credits of, I want to say it's one of the Zucker Brothers movies.
That would make sense.
And I think it's Jesus Was a Black Dude.
Wasn't that from Repossessed or no?
Was it? I thought it was a Zucker Brothers one.
Oh.
I'm sure someone can answer, but I believe it was Jesus Was a Black Dude, not some white guy with a tan, was the refrain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's an interesting observation. So musically, it's got a pretty cool groove, right?
It's fine.
It's got that kind of swaggering groove, and the band itself as the unit is locked in. You get that, you know, when Eddie and Alex play together, they've just got that natural telepathic thing going on. So musically, it's virtually impossible for those guys to create something that's not pretty great. Maybe with the exception of some of the pandering ballads that Hagar inspired them to write over the course of the Hagar era of the band.
And I have several bones to pick already with just the first two vocal lines. Just the performance, just yelling the words, basically. And just the use of personal Jesus. It's like,
yeah,
quoting a, you know, somebody else's song title Depeche like Mode, that. Right. It's just
and basically we're already seeing and hearing that this is essentially the template for Chickenfoot.
I was gonna say
lyrical content,
soap and, on a rope.
Yeah, exactly. Bigfoot. I mean, just moronic lyrics. You know, sexy little thing. Yeah. Again, what was he, 60 when he wrote that? I mean, we've talked about being age appropriate on this show, and I'm one to talk. Some of the shit I say at age 52 is pretty embarrassing, but this is next level stuff. And it's only just started.
I mean, nobody, I don't think, is... It's so silly that I don't think anybody is offended, but I think it would be pretty easy to be already...
It's more... You're more embarrassed by it than offended. There's stuff later that maybe if you're, like, super sensitive, but I think the more reasonable reaction is like, just embarrassment.
Like, I find, like, Ghost super offensive. This, I just... It's just like, oh, it's so stupid.
You find Ghost offensive?
Well, I mean, they mock... They straight up mock sacred...
All right. So. But lyrically, I mean...
This song?
Well, there's nothing to be offended by here. It's ridiculous.
It's silly,
and he's done it so many times that it's just there can't be any irony or like humor here. This is what he does.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's like his wife listening to this. I mean, how could she take him seriously after this? I don't know. This is,
you think he'd put the moves on after?
Who knows, man. I don't know. This is brutal shit.
You think he wrote this like in her birthday card?
Yeah.
A poem?
This is a tribute to her.
I just hope the second verse opens with her name is Rio.
Yeah. It's.
I just looked ahead. It doesn't.
It should have. It would have been better.
It would have been. All right. Let's keep going.
Got the finger put it right there on the trigger.
That is just, you know.
I'm getting a visual of the pump sneakers. Pump it up, make it bigger.
The whole.
I can jump higher now.
Yeah, and, you know.
The prosthetic we talked about several months back.
And another P word I'm going to bring up here. The finger on the trigger implies prostate stimulation to get a rise out of an individual.
Oh, goodness.
Trust me, that's where his head was at about when he wrote that lyric. Wow. Make no mistake about it.
Sammy Hagar being milked at age 57.
An ode to stink finger up for breakfast is what we have.
Yeah, and it's... I mean, thinking about breakfast.
Well, that's
who wants to eat after this?
Well, that's what I mean. It's like... You know, tell the room service guy to come back in a half hour. Somebody's got her finger up my ass. The last thing you want when that's happening is a knock on the door.
What if you wake up
room service?
What if you wake up a few minutes before the wake up call?
Yeah,
and then the phone's ringing off the hook while this is happening.
And you can't get to it. Can't reach it.
Or you do get it, and you think you can keep your composure.
Yeah, well, that's not
it's happening. Not.
You have to coordinate some kind of walk. like two people in the horse costume.
Yeah. Or like like a three-legged man race.
Yeah. It's those kind of things always happen at the precisely the wrong time when you're being pumped up and made bigger.
Didn't we just make
pump it up, make it bigger? Make it
bigger. Didn't we just give laugh me a break. About like wasn't someone can answer this? I don't
make
remember.
It bigger.
Didn't we say make it bigger a few episodes ago and laugh about how stupid?
Probably. I don't remember it, but
I'm pretty sure we did. Such a childish way of saying this.
Exactly.
I mean, that's trying to describe your first erection right there. Yeah. Something made it bigger.
Or it's like English is a second language kind of thing. Like you're saying the right thing, but that's not.
But it's very clumsy.
Yeah, that's not.
That might actually be a line that would absolutely not work at the bullpen luxury sports bar down the street.
That's
everything else would potentially work at some point. Make it bigger would not.
So if you said, girl, you just made it bigger, you don't think that's going to get you anywhere?
Absolutely not.
You think that's any worse than a line I remember a guy in high school telling me? It was, she made it move.
Yeah.
You think make it bigger is as good as that line?
Wasn't made it move a big Seinfeld thing?
Probably.
I think it was a different. I don't know.
George got a massage or something, and it moved. Okay. So I'm thinking maybe that's related.
So then it kind of gets a pass because of that, I guess.
Make it bigger is worse.
Yeah.
Make it bigger.
George got a massage, and she made it bigger.
Unbelievable.
And again, he's 56.
Well, I mean, you got to rhyme something with trigger.
You don't have a lot of choices.
Or you don't write this song at all. Or somebody at some stage says, you know what, we're not putting this out. The music's good. Come up with some better lyrics. We're not putting this out.
If you're not the Ghetto Boys, you don't have as many options.
Exactly.
To rhyme with trigger?
Yes.
Exactly right.
That's true.
Good one. Good point.
Trigger happy.
Yeah, right.
Fella.
Trigger happy, bigger.
Doesn't work.
No.
All right,
let's go. Go crazy. Pulling it up, pumping it up. Ooh,
yeah. It's gonna heal ya. There he goes again. It's gonna heal ya.
You know, he's venturing into Gene Simmons territory. His cock is the all-healing appendage. It's going to cure what ails anybody.
No, it's not.
Nobody wants to see it. Put it away. Nobody wants it to be made bigger. Just stop calling attention to it.
Your wife doesn't even like it.
Absolutely not.
Leave her alone.
Same hairstyle down there, I'm sure.
The only thing she wants to be continued made bigger is his bank account.
Yeah. And this song probably isn't going to do it.
This song isn't, but pretty much everything else he's involved in. Yeah. So you got to tip your hat to him on that. But he ain't padding the bank account with his lyrics. My God. I don't know for sure, but I guarantee you Chickenfoot busted this out as part of the set. Because, I mean,
could
drop it right in, and this could be a Chickenfoot song.
As great, and I haven't listened to anything he's done live in, like, a little while, but I know he's one of those guys who's supposedly maintained the voice after all these years, like kind of a Roger Daltrey.
Yeah, I'd say that's
there's
accurate.
A few other guys, but even with his voice, you know, the strength of it, this is just garbage. As far as like, there's just no, it's pure rhythm and yelling the lyrics. There's, I can't imagine much thought was put into
it. It's almost the way you just described it made me make this connection that I've never made before. This is almost Van Halen's equivalent of Lulu, Metallica, and Lou Reed. Music and lyrics, vocals laid on top of it that seem to have no connection and synergy whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, Van Halen musically, there are a lot of possibilities melodically. Like, the way that Eddie Van Halen writes a song, it lends itself to that. But this is, I mean, this is like a bad 80s Gene Simmons song. I'll go with down the same road with Chris there. This is like just...
Yeah, this log is, in the fireplace. Yeah, the just... whole shebang.
I mean, I'm going to do it emphatically. The voice will be in good form, but it's just... I'm not going to put any thought into this.
But the thing about it is, Gene Simmons was not 56 when he wrote that stuff. That's the other X factor of this whole thing that's important to keep in mind. I mean, this is like, you write this in second grade when you're trying to write a cheeky song and you don't know anything about life or the world.
Make it bigger. Yeah, makes perfect sense at that age.
Heal ya. Get out of here.
Gonna heal ya.
Stupid. She put the cream in my coffee. First thing in the morning, put that butter on my biscuit. Honey to my belly. Woo! There's a requisite. Woo!
It's not going to get any better in the next one.
No, it's not. But what do we have up to that point?
She put the cream in my coffee, parentheses, first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Put that butter on my biscuit. And then this next line I don't get, but parentheses, honeydew my melons.
Well, so you know, a honeydew melon.
Yeah, but
honeydew my melons, probably meaning ball melons. Play, as Andy and I have been discussing at length recently.
That's more of a buttock-sized...
yeah, but, you know, he's
honeydew my buttocks.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I'm just saying. I mean, if he's got...
Yeah, as long as your fingers.
If he's got
there,
honeydew melons down there in the front, then that's...
He's obviously got a very high opinion of himself.
I mean, if you have that, that's a medical... That's a medical emergency.
Melons. I mean...
How is it spelled? I'm sure it's not right, but I'm just curious how the person who wrote the lyrics on the
internet...
The
one that I'm looking up is actual honeydew, like the fruit. Honeydew, my melons.
That way's a little cheekier.
It's like apple, my oranges. Like, huh?
Butter on my biscuits. I mean, how do you
put that butter? No, it's just a singular biscuit.
Single biscuit.
What's shaped like a biscuit? That's singular.
Maybe it's one of those Burger King original chicken sandwich buns.
A preparation H pad. I don't know. I was like
the butter. What is the butter?
The mind races with what could possibly have been going through. and this is 2004, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Eddie Van Halen clearly deep in the throes of alcoholism. How does nobody step up and say, we're not releasing this?
Do you think it was a time thing? This is what we've got?
Why is it necessary? There are 50 million songs on this collection. Yeah. There's no reason to shoehorn this in. Well,
they're hoping to add a new classic to the to the perpetual set list.
They accomplished releasing one of the worst songs of all time in any genre in the history of recorded music. It's just terrible. Well, and we've only just started it, right?
And this next line is a long way to go. This next line's embarrassing.
As opposed to the ones previously?
Yeah.
Perhaps
this more so.
This is a new low. Here
we go. Good. Cherries on bananas. You don't need a second of it. You know I'm
up for breakfast early in the morning. Chris is just nodding his head.
Cherries on bananas. Gonna need a second helping. You know I'm up for breakfast so early in the morning.
Yeah, good for you. I mean, just that is... come on now.
That might be where it crossed the line for
Andy,
me.
Is this as advertised?
Yeah, this is terrible.
So how many years have I been talking about this?
Probably
just referenced it. Since
probably
you've known
15
me,
years,
you
know. Probably since
I would
it
like,
came out.
I'd like to point out that it would... if you're standing on your feet...
Mm-hmm.
The way gravity works, it would be banana on cherries, but this is cherries on bananas, so he's standing on his hands.
Well, you know.
I'm just saying.
I have to do some math here in my head.
Right? I mean, that's how gravity works.
Well,
something on something, something on something else.
There are a million ways you could...
Yeah.
the fact that we're even analyzing this is just astonishing.
Now, I want everybody to stop. If you want to hear this sentiment of this song pulled off successfully, go pull up Early Morning Love by Lou Rawls, and you'll get a line in there. It's like mixing fire with fire.
Okay,
is in that song. That's you'll get stuff like that in that song.
Right, Lou Rawls, Bon Scott, lyricists like that know how to address this topic in a clever, appealing way. If this is the polar opposite of that. Like I said, this is something a second grader would come up with. Maybe a first grader. I don't know. But
I think we could talk like an hour and a half just about three words, cherries on bananas.
Yeah, I mean,
but I think we need to keep moving. There's a long way to go.
We do have to keep moving. Yeah. But that's just, astonishing.
And who has cherries for breakfast? Bananas, I see.
Yeah,
cherries? This is not the lover's breakfast.
Well, it's not the lover's breakfast, but we all know what cherry means. That's he has to shoehorn that in there. And again, he's 56 writing this crap. Unbelievable.
See, I was thinking more of it could be a solo act with the cherry. He's got both the cherries and the bananas.
Why does he have more than one banana?
Yeah, he's got multiple bananas. What
kind of party is he having?
It's
his wife's birthday.
Yeah.
He's symmetrical, perhaps.
A little orgy going on. Food orgy of his own making. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Let's move ahead.
Yeah. My goodness. It's only going to get worse if we keep staying on this one, move.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
hot tub, loosen up,
baby, been soaking. No. Oh, no. This is stupid. This is so bad.
You stopped it at maybe the worst line.
Right, but so read those lyrics off.
I'll read these this time. Yeah. I don't need the back door open.
Yeah, great.
Lyrics I have up, it says lock the front, leave the back door open.
Really?
Yeah.
That's better.
That doesn't... But
well, it's worse.
I don't know that makes sense. I don't think he wants anything on lockdown. Lock the front?
I think he's...
Nick, your lyrics are right. Let's go with yours now.
I think he wants everything, every option available to him is what it sounded like to me.
Well, but...
Not today, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not on this breakfast.
Lock the front, leave the back door open.
Yeah. God.
That's just.
And then there was a hot tub reference.
Read that one.
Hot
Nick.
Tub, loosen up, baby, been soaking.
Oh God!
And then it only
is that a technique?
And then it
I
only
don't
gets
know.
Dumber
I
after
don't know,
this,
dude. I'm don't
not.
Know.
I'm not a man who's ventured into any kind of butt play. Is a hot tub for loosening some kind of technique?
I don't know.
Well, I mean,
listeners, please let us know.
I mean, it's like a sidewalk. It's cold out. It tightens up. It's hot out. It expands.
It makes sense.
I mean, this
I
is
just hadn't
it's
thought
just,
about it.
Yeah, it's just a disturbing.
So, I just want to reiterate something with Andy. Okay, never heard this song before, right?
Never
even looked at the lyrics before.
Never.
This is as advertised, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's
so
dog
bad.
Shit,
and it's unbelievable. It's consistently getting worse.
Oh yeah, I mean. The opening salvo of the Van Hagar era was good enough on 5150, another song that equates women to food, okay? I thought that was the low point, and I actually kind of like that song, again, mainly for the music, and some of the...
And which one is that again?
Good Enough,
the
opening
okay.
track on 5150. This is just
this reminds me of the Cosby Show episode where Theo and Cockroach refer to girls as burgers.
Yeah, this is yes,
and get confronted about it.
Why that was inappropriate to?
Oh yeah, they're objectifying women.
Yeah, this is. I don't even know what this is.
And this next lyric might be the dumbest.
Well, there's plenty.
The
of
dumbest
them.
Lyric. excerpt ever written of all time.
See, and this is somewhat still new for me because I heard this once and knew right then and there that they were the worst lyrics I've ever heard. I never went back to this well until now. So I don't have these memorized, obviously. So I might as well be hearing these for the first time as well.
There's profound stupidity ahead.
Well, I have no doubt. Unbelievable. I've been talking, I've been sipping.
Okay.
What?
Been token, been sipping.
Is this an Afro Man song?
slip, slide, slipping. All got me tripping.
Oh my god.
That's a new low.
This is unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
Or a Kid Rock, you know.
Kid Rock. This lyric. Is beneath Kid Rock. I mean.
Well.
No, it is. This is as bad as it gets.
It's close to some of his actual lyrics.
Well, Nick just means that one line.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like it's like a Kid Rock song. I can't think of the name of it, but yeah,
Kid Rock wouldn't have.
I'm just
the rest
sitting here
it.
Wasting time. Yeah, token yeah. or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, right. But you know, that's a. This is way beneath anything that's ever been released by anyone. I mean, it's just this is astonishing. I'll say it again, and we've said it about other stuff, but how does no one in the chain of command anywhere in the course of the organization put their foot down and say, "We're not releasing this. This is ridiculous."
Don't you remember what we used to do? We were Van Halen, and this is what we're putting out now.
But
yeah, it's as outrageous. We're focusing on the lyrics, but I still can't get over the vocal delivery. With even though his voice is great, I can't get over just how.
How
like 5 minutes this was probably worked out and no second guessing when there should have been plenty.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a testament to how fucking gone Eddie Van Halen was.
Nobody pulling up to the bench to the piano and working out any sort of melodic anything.
Hell no.
Just yell the
exactly
yell your lyrics.
Yeah.
This could very well have been done R. Kelly style, where supposedly he just improvises the lyrics into the mic in the studio.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't disgrace R. Kelly's legacy by comparing his stuff to this. This is just unbelievable. When I go crazy.
Hey, real quick, it sounded like he changed that lyric a little bit from the first time. It was just pumping it up the first time, and then this time he was keeping it up and pumping it up. Just wanted to let you know he's still going.
Can you back it up a second or two? Because you actually stopped it in the middle of
of more good stuff.
More strangeness.
Okay, there we go.
Ain't gonna kill ya.
That's what every woman wants to hear. What woman would melt to hear that?
Well, that seals the deal.
Yeah.
He's 90% there, and then you drop that, and they're like, oh, well, you know what?
Why not, the
instant regret I'm already feeling. Yeah. At least it's not going to kill me.
Yeah, so why not?
I've already humiliated myself.
Let's get this over with.
You know, it's funny. Whatever lyric site I'm looking at with the incorrect lyrics, it says, "It's gonna kill you."
I wish it was that. It's gonna kill you.
Oh, That's the best part about this is you guys are looking at two different lyric sites.
Yeah.
It's, this is making it even better. We're getting multiple interpretations.
It's gonna kill you.
That's the live version. It's gonna kill you.
I mean, what a dark turn, right? You know, it's gonna kill. I don't even know what to say about that.
Yeah.
I think I like this song now. If that's the real lyric.
If that was it, that might have.
It's
it might have been some salvation. But
wow, it's not. But I wish it
was.
She put the cream in my coffee. What did they? What was that little frantic dibba 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 dibba? What happened there?
Is it like Lexington Steel speaking in tongues at that point?
Let's go back in here.
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
That's almost like.
Is that on either of your lyrics?
No. It's not, no.
That's like Gene Simmons from Spit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like
sounded.
Yeah, indecipherable, enthusiastic noises.
Jesus. Put the cream in my coffee. I sing in the morning. Spread that butter on my biscuit. Honey to my belly. With berries on bananas. I need a. Did you say berries?
Yeah, he
that
did.
Time?
And he said spread the butter on my spread that butter on my biscuit. So, first chorus, just put it on.
Leave it. Don't touch it.
Now spread it because it didn't melt all over it like I was hoping.
Yeah.
Get a berries on bananas this time.
Get some sort of trowel like device and spread it on there, please.
Unbelievable.
She's grouting him at this point.
Also, she put cream in my coffee. It's kind of I don't really know what that even refers to.
Who knows? I mean,
that's an old
bodily fluids. Who knows? Deposited somewhere.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But I've heard like
she's talking.
Well, I mean, that's an old expression anyway. So maybe he's just using it in a you know. She's the cream in my coffee kind of thing.
Okay.
Hopefully he's not talking. Hopefully that's not some sort of play.
Consider the source.
Double entendre.
It absolutely is.
I hope he snapped out of it for a moment.
You think he took the high road for one lyric?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
No. It didn't happen.
I'm hoping the entendres took a break.
No, he didn't. That's why I'm off for breakfast.
Relatively speaking, and we're talking relative to a typical Eddie Van Halen guitar solo, pretty unremarkable.
Yeah, he's just pretty much just
a lot of effects and
cut loose to get it over with.
And, but it's drowned out a little bit because of all the effects on it.
Yeah,
so it's pretty not memorable.
Yeah, and I mean musically, there's potential here. But it just the lyrical content just destroys it. Unbelievable. And
I mean, yeah, musically we're getting
wake me up chanting throughout.
I mean, we're getting
what is this?
Musically, there's that same liveliness that you know that we all love in Van Halen musically.
Right,
that's there.
You're always gonna get that to some degree.
Yeah, but it's. I don't know.
It's the same reaction you get or should get when you listen to Van Halen 3. It's like there's some good music going on here, but the disconnect between that and the vocals is it just kills it. You can't sit through it. Andy's starting to get a little angry. I think even his intelligence is being insulted, as should anyone's.
Well, everything you guys said, I agree with about how the music and the lyrics don't make any sense together whatsoever.
No.
And it's such a poor effort.
It really is.
With the lyrics and the presentation. But again, Sammy's technical ability, you hear it, he's great.
Sure.
But and like Nick said, he put no effort into coming up with any kind of melody. It's not a toe tapper. You're not going to be humming this.
You know, that's a good point. There really is no melody to the lyric.
There's nothing memorable about the song.
No, to reference our boy Greg Troyan, that's something he always harps on, is about songs that have hooks. Song has zero hooks. There's nothing to it.
No,
and it's on a best of collection. I mean, there's no reason for this to even exist in any capacity.
This song it's like someone cast just a bare fishing line into the water. Zero hooks whatsoever.
No weights.
No.
No bobber.
Nobody's going to go near it. That's no bobber.
Yeah. Does Sammy Hagar, does he have any fishing innuendo song?
Sure, he probably does. I guarantee it.
Tackle Box, I believe it's called.
That's what he's going to do.
That's the name of the song, Tackle Box. Yeah. He's going to tackle multiple boxes.
References to worms,
lures, and
bait. Go down the list. Good.
This all works.
Talking about being up early in the morning again. So there's that familiarity for the people who love
that. Should be our next breakfast. Attempt is to do a Hagar song, Gone Fishing. See if we could actually write a worse lyrical song than
if
this.
Anybody can.
Yeah, we could probably put our heads together and come up with it. Get some motion in the ocean. That wouldn't be beneath him to say something like that.
Dinghy would come into play at some point. Pole, obviously. Yeah. I mean, this is the songwriting process that went into the creation of Up for Breakfast.
Peel off the seaweed.
The Shaft hair reference.
Well, it's it, like all great art, it's open to interpretation.
Okay.
Massage my barnacles.
Barnacles.
Never mind. We could go on. Unfortunately, we could go on.
Yeah. Baby, my coffee,
so he, let's see, he's, I'll give him, I'm going to concede this much. There are at least slightly entertaining variations on the chorus lines.
Right, yeah.
Spread hot butter on my biscuit. And I like that, gonna need a second helping. You know what he really needs in here is a, bring it here, mama.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would do it.
Because we're getting into the into some diminutive Andrew territory.
Sammy Hagar
here.
Is no diminutive Andrew.
But there might be a direct influence, I'm thinking.
You know, now that you mention it, the opening salvo of Good Enough is a Big Thropper ripoff. He does the Hello Baby right at the beginning.
Oh, my.
He might have been tapped into these guys that we just recently discovered. And he's definitely coming up short in terms of...
Shines a new light on it, though.
Yeah. Makes lyrically, he makes the Big Thropper look like Bob Dylan in comparison. Unreal.
Woo! Got bacon on the table. Best thing in the morning.
Oh, was that one?
I think Chris will enjoy this one. Got bacon on the table first thing in the morning.
Jesus God.
Bacon on the table. What could that mean?
Bacon's a wiener, that's for sure.
And he's putting it on the table.
What kind of... You put just food on there.
Flopping it down on the counter.
You put food on there.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
You got to hit that with the pledge a few times.
I ain't eating any food off that table anymore.
First thing in the morning, too.
Been flopped down on it.
First thing in the morning.
Yeah. Bacon on the table.
Can barely see, and then you walk in the kitchen, and he's standing there with his bacon on the table.
It's not going to kill you.
Or it's gonna kill you. The bacon. Well, there's a good double entendre. Bacon, you know, bacon's gonna kill you.
Yeah, clog up your arteries. Mm-hmm. Clog up your back door. Jesus.
I have to admit, I love that delivery.
Yeah.
Squeeze some honey on my biscuit.
Squeeze some honey on my biscuit.
I'm gonna concede that line also.
See, typically we praise people for being fully engaged in the lyrical delivery. This should result in nothing but humiliation.
And also the fact that he's updating the lyrics as the song goes along. That's something I feel like we've complimented in the past, but.
Yeah, he's digging deeper with each improvisation.
It's more entertaining than if he repeated the first verse verbatim.
This is true.
Or first chorus verbatim.
But it's entertaining because he's sinking lower.
Yeah.
Whip it.
My bananas.
What's, why is it a plural bananas?
I don't know. Does he have banana titties? Is that what's going on?
Who knows?
Take a shirt off.
We've got those elongated testicles.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe Sammy Hagar has two wieners. Who knows?
Could be.
I don't know why it's bananas. Or is it like chopped bananas? And that's a different visual altogether. I don't know what it is, but it's something else.
Chopped bananas.
See, I'm just picturing two curved full bananas out of the banana peel.
Yeah.
But maybe that's not it.
Who knows?
Yeah, who
knows?
I don't know.
Maybe
it's
like
means.
A banana split.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
I've seen that on the internet
before. Yeah, so have I. That is, that's
ghastly.
That is, just go away at that point. This is, you've lost the plot when you're pulling that shit.
Yeah.
Get a neck tattoo instead.
Yeah.
Start cutting your dick in half. Yeah, you've crossed a line there.
I'm just wondering why it's plural. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Maybe when we tag Sammy on our Twitter posts about this, he'll listen to the episode and be willing to talk.
Yeah, I'm sure.
About his,
I could see all three of those things happening.
Yeah, right.
She'll be happy to give us a call.
They'll fly us down to Cabo Wabo and just have a round table discussion about Up for Breakfast.
Have all three of us shot, probably.
We'll have a follow-up episode correcting things next week.
We'll all end up at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean.
Or we'll have a new sponsor.
Yeah, right.
Black coffee first thing in the morning. Okay.
We all know what that... We know which road he's headed down there, I'm sure.
Is this another Kid Rock lyric?
Yeah, who knows?
I thought he was giving us a slight description of the lady he's with.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm getting a Pam Grier kind of visual here.
What is that song called, Chris? Black Chick, White Guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Maybe that's what's happening. I don't know. I don't know anything about Sammy's love life.
Sounds like there are multiple people in this scenario.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
bananas. That explains the bananas. Multiple dudes. He's a, white women, black women.
Mm-hmm. He's at a breakfast buffet, a horseshoe casino breakfast buffet.
Considering his fascination with Mexico, brown women will be in the equation. Maybe there'll be an overt reference.
Well, maybe
to that.
Maybe that's the cream in the coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, chorizo line.
Yeah, exactly.
Huevos rancheros.
Salsa on my huevos.
Some Tabasco on my chorizo.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be disappointed if we don't get that. Some huevos line.
What was that? Whoa.
somebody went too far.
Somebody crossed the line there.
Yeah. Another banana came into the picture.
He saw the bananas touched. It's like, oh, wait a minute.
He saw a shadow in the doorway.
Whoa. It's bad enough I got to see another dude naked, but when your banana touches mine, we got to put a stop to this. Okay? Nobody bargained for that.
Maybe that was... was on purpose. It coincided with the disorienting phasing effect at the end.
That makes sense.
Okay, I just looked it up. Bertinelli divorced Eddie Van Halen in 2007. I guarantee you his participation in this song factored into that. I mean, how can you respect the man in your life for being part and parcel of this crap? At the age they were, I mean, again, your second grade kid comes to the table with this at a talent show.
I mean, yeah.
You take him aside after it's done and say, don't ever do that again. I mean, I get where you are in life and why you brought that forth. Don't ever do it again.
Yeah, but you're playing with fire in several different
50
ways.
50 fucking six. We wrote this. That's all you need to know.
I mean,
unreal.
Do you think it's one of those cliches where you can't really relate anymore?
Maybe
after being someone, you know, in the limelight and for so long,
there's got to be some explanation.
Is it possible that it's? Yeah, I think people like this. I mean, well, again, I don't know. I'm not a real person anymore.
It's another illustration of absolutely zero people in the organization having the huevos to say no to this.
All right. Well, guys, that was it for Up for Breakfast. It's time to vote.
That's it for me, as far as I'm concerned.
You're done. It's time to vote Sweet Surrender or Kick in the Crotch. Chris, you vote first today.
a steel-toed boot kick in the crotch, absolutely. It's a humiliating kick in the crotch! I mean, everybody knows this is the running joke in my life ever since this came out, and this is the second time I've heard this song. The first time I heard it was enough to etch it in the annals of my brain. It's the worst thing I've ever heard, and this just solidifies it, so... I mean, there's really nothing more to be said. Interested in getting your guys' takes on it. Your summary takes here in the voting round.
Mm-hmm. Nick, you want to go next? Or?
Yeah, go ahead, Nick.
Take your footwear to my cherries.
Got it. It's a humiliating kick in the
crotch! Yeah, I mean, like I was saying before, and I stand by this at least, it had that bouncy, exciting kind of, you know, typical Van Halen musical ingredient that's, you know, obviously a vital component to their career. So it had that. So I mean, it wasn't memorable, really. I'll say that again, but there was, I think, had there been a lyrical melody, I think it would have brought out something in the music that may have made it stand out.
I mean, there's a groove there.
There's a groove, solid. Yeah, but it's made unremarkable because the other key ingredient is just not there. It's not bringing out the other ingredients.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard a song that it was absolutely completely devoid of any melodic hooks. That's an example right there.
Yeah, they're
unreal.
And that's something that I tend to gravitate toward also. So I'm, you know, that it didn't excite me that it was just kind of yelling out lyrics.
No. It didn't make it bigger for you.
No.
Shocker.
Made it much smaller than I ever thought possible.
Turned it into an innie, basically.
We pretty much exhausted the trashing of the lyrics, so yeah. I
want to hear Andy's final take on it. This is the one I'm most interested in because he's been listening to me reference this for the better part of a decade and a half, and now he's finally been exposed to it.
Yeah, kick in the crotch for sure.
It's a humiliating kick in the crotch.
But I did thoroughly enjoy listening to it with the two of you and analyzing it. So
there's that.
That's not enough to give it any kind of positive voting. But you're right. It's one of those songs where I guess it's just, you know, you have to throw a new song on a greatest hits, or at least you did at one point.
Well, they've got a few of them on here. There's no reason to include this.
So you're saying keep the other two. Drop this one.
Do you have any recollection of the other two?
No, I certainly don't.
I'm curious. I'm going to look them up and just see if this was the battle plan with all three of the new songs or not.
There's no way that it could be worse than this.
Maybe it's consistent with it, though. Who knows?
It's not possible.
What's the other one? About Time or something?
I'm not going to...
It's About Time and Learning to See. Maybe there's an optometry innuendo song.
Exactly. Both of those sound like social progression commentary.
Like Right Now kind of thing.
Yeah, like... I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you explained this song to me, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm going to like that because it's a bunch of stupid innuendo. Like, I would just laugh and enjoy it, but it's so bad and poorly done that it's embarrassing.
The execution is absolutely embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. I would, listening to this by myself, I would be embarrassed. I would be cringing in the car listening to this.
And I'm disappointed.
You cut it off. You would tap out halfway through. You wouldn't make it through.
It's not like Fits Like a Glove or something where I enjoy the stupidity of the innuendo in that song.
Whatever Gene's worst song of the 80s is, this is 50 clicks lower than that. Easily.
And he could... There's so much other stuff he could have put into this. He could have started naming breakfast places, establishments. He could have made a Bob Evans reference.
Wow. I mean,
he could have talked about meeting a girl at the airport and then worked in like an international House of Pancakes line.
That would have worked.
You know, someone from another country. It
dug deep in the past and brought up Sambos. That would have been good.
Some sort
with
of
tied in with a black coffee line toward the end.
Something about rolling his Cracker Barrel out.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it was on the demo. Demo was way better.
Something about a Grand Slam breakfast at Denny's.
That's the moon over my hammy.
He absolutely should have had Grand Slam and moon over my hammies in the song.
There's smothered and covered, which is the lingo at Waffle House, I believe.
These are all better than what's
put my pigs song. Under your blanket.
Exactly.
My pigs. Yeah, okay. Well, that's it.
Instead of biscuit in one of the choruses, he could have said home fries. Hey, we're just sitting here riffing. If this is our main job, we could have knocked something out better in no time.
There could have been a mention of sawmill gravy.
Oh my God.
The possibilities are endless.
That would be the last lyric.
My Dutch baby.
Yeah. Unreal. As advertised, Andy.
Yes, absolutely. As advertised. Ooh. As bad as you.
It's like the pain of a kidney stone as advertised.
I just can't believe that this song came up as the second random selection. It's pretty incredible. And this is one
people are going to alleged shenanigans, because I went into it wanting to pull a bad one because people love the episodes where we destroy songs.
We got lucky.
First one wasn't going to be that. Second one, we hit the fucking jackpot.
All right. Well, if you disagree with us, we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
Three kicks in the crotch.
Oof.
Ouch.
And.
No cup either.
No next round.
Absolutely.
No athletic support.
Yeah.
Nothing.
So before we get to the yard of questions, Chris, what's going on over there? You had some kind of...
The series that I've kind of been doing where we had like the similarities to how Gene Simmons interchanges certain words for the word dick. Well, this is... not that, but it's something else I found interesting based on last week's song. We didn't get it this week because it's the worst song of all time, but when it's a boner classic, what are we calling it these days?
Rock and roll boner classic.
You get the outburst from Pete Weber, PDW. Professional bowler. And whenever we hear that, we kind of want to imagine him participating and somehow in that in the song that we just heard. Well, it turns out he did participate. Ooh. In a version of the Eddie Money song, Eddie Money's version of the song that we did last week. So let's give it a listen.
First slow dance, hoping that I
get it right.
Boy, what a jarring juxtaposition there.
What, is that like-
Eddie Money's positively crooning, and then you just get this, you know, barking out of Get It Right.
That's like when someone holds the mic out to the crowd at a show.
Pretty much. Yeah. Anyway, thought that was interesting.
One more time for good measure.
The first slow dance, hoping that I
get it right.
Sense of urgency in that lyric.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Maybe he was blowing it at that second. Was in panic mode. And I did want to point out, you guys are talking about the Rock and Roll Boner Classic. That's actually also the name of the softball benefit game that we do every spring. So
we did one.
We did one in Ohio.
Dayton, Ohio. Yeah, that's right. The Dayton Flyers softball field.
Yep.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, there were, what, three people there?
There was one run scored.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, not even.
Two cheeks slapped.
An extra bass hit, as far as we know.
Two honeydew melons slapped. All right, let's move ahead.
You know what time it is.
I sure do. No way.
Yes, Chief.
Baseball Beaver, kiss it.
It's time for our Yardo questions. Baseball's still going on. Who's hot this year? I haven't paid any attention. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm not really paying attention either.
No.
I think the Dodgers are good again.
Okay. Go Dodgers, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Or cares. Don't.
Yeah.
Or
don't.
Do it.
Do whatever you want.
Do or do not. Who cares?
Honey, do your melons if you want to.
All right, this week's Yard of Questions comes to us from Sean Metzger.
Ah, familiar name.
Yes. Ah, yes.
Regular participant on the social media pages. Mm-hmm. If you're not, you should be.
So Sean says, hey, boners. Question one.
Wow, cutting right to it. I like that.
That's it. No special messages or anything. Just hey, like boners, that. Comma.
Get to it.
One, period. Here we go.
To boner whom it may concern.
For immediate boner release. If you were to eliminate one song from an album to make that album perfect, what would it be?
Ooh.
For example, Let Me Take You Home Tonight from the Boston debut album.
I can't agree with that.
The song sucks.
Can't agree there.
My.
And just doesn't gel with the rest of the album.
Can't agree with that. And that's, yeah, he's flat out wrong about that, but it's neither here nor there. I'm just off the top of my head, I'm going to say Give Me Revenge Without Every Time I Look at You, and you've got just a potent slab of kick-ass hard rock.
That's tough, because
how about Best of Both Worlds without Up for Breakfast on it? That's another one.
That would get it closer, that's for sure. Wow. See, to make it, I initially thought of a song that I just wish didn't exist, but I don't think it's a perfect album without it, so I can't. I'm kind of struggling here.
Yeah, but what is it though?
Well, I I'll go to the last STP album with Weiland, the eponymous, their first eponymous album,
right.
And I've mentioned this song before, but I don't think it's a perfect album without it, but I think every other song is up to their standards, except for there's a song called Hickory Dichotomy, which is the black eye in their catalog, as far as I'm concerned.
So, what sucks about it?
It's just a terrible... the way that the style of the vocal delivery is the thing that really does it for me, and there's nothing remarkable about it musically either, in my opinion.
Right.
So that's the closest one I could think of. I think it's a really, really good album without it. As far as a perfect one, I apologize. Nothing is coming to mind.
That's a tough question.
Yeah, that is.
Question two. I'm from Winnipeg, Canada.
Oh, there you go. So, home of Jericho, right?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of my favorite, spelled with a O-U.
Of course.
Favorite bands don't come to town, so I have to travel to see them. What's the farthest away from home you've traveled for a concert?
I drove to Boston 16 hours with my older brother and a couple of his buddies. To go to the Dropkick Murphys show at Fenway Park. That's the farthest I've ever gone.
That's pretty far.
Andy's got one on the horizon, off to L.A. to see Bungle.
Yeah,
right? Is that going to be your answer?
That will be, yeah. The only thing similar not even that close, but it was when we went to Detroit to see Kiss, yeah. Which is what, 5 hours?
Well, for me, the obvious one is the Kiss cruise. I was in the middle of the Caribbean Sea to see Kiss do their Creatures set on the ship. So that's the obvious answer for me.
But I don't know about Chris growing up in Detroit. Most big bands don't skip Detroit.
They don't.
So yeah. I'm going to say like Chicago, we don't really have a shortage of bands coming through town either. So we can't really relate to that question, Sean, but we feel for you.
Yeah. You do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I guess I would just assume that Winnipeg's a big enough city where, you know, that they bands are going to be there or somewhere nearby.
Apparently not. It's pretty remote up there.
Yeah.
It's at the mountain time zone of Canada.
Question 3. Who's worse? ELO or Anvil? Love the show. Keep rocking, brothers. Does that just mean me and Nick keep rocking, or is it like figurative brothers?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, literal brothers.
Literal brothers.
Then Chris do whatever
Jones
he does.
Brothers, best siblings.
So who's worse, ELO or Anvil?
Anvil.
I'd have to agree, simply because ELO has achieved some sort of a modicum of success.
Mm-hmm. And I've gotten enjoyment out of at least one ELO song in my lifetime. I really can't say that for Anvil. And I've tried. I haven't heard all of their stuff, but I mean, I listened to Metal on Metal. You know what Lars Ulrich said? It's a classic.
Yeah, well, he was paid to say that.
I can't agree with him.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the tipping factor for me is that ELO has actually achieved some semblance of success.
Yeah,
Anvil is, again, they're on the same level they always been, which is at the fucking bottom. So.
Did Jeff Lynne ever play the guitar with a dildo?
Well, he is a dildo, so...
took it to the next level.
Exactly.
Okay.
I was going to make a Wilburys joke, but I couldn't think of anybody in that band to insult that.
Who would be?
No, I can't think... I wouldn't want to insult anybody in that band to that degree, so...
Especially since, two of them are... Three of them are dead.
Three of them are gone now.
Who's the third?
Harrison Petty.
Orbison. Petty. I forgot Petty. That's it. All right. Well, thank you, Sean. And if you want to submit your Yardo questions, go to podofthunder.com and send away not one, not two, but three questions. So easy. And if you want to submit a song, there's a form to do that too. It's all there. We got it all on podofthunder.com, don't we, Nick? Tell them.
You know, usually I like to research and make sure I'm telling the truth about stuff. But in this case, I'm just going to say I agree with you.
Well, tell them about all the things we got on there, Nick.
Well, you know, there's links.
Links.
I believe hyperlinks.
Mm-hmm.
There's some code in there. And if you and somehow it all comes together where you can possibly buy merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
You can you still get to Stats of Thunder if you want to know about the...
I don't think so.
The comprehensive Kiss voting that we did.
I don't think that still exists.
Okay, well...
That was a thing of the past. That was a third-party operation.
Okay, so that's... Now in the
guys who've collectively put their moons over our hammies.
Yes.
I don't know. What else? What else is there even? We don't have much else to offer.
It's got all the things you need. You can listen to every show if you don't want to listen however you're listening now. Merchandise, and then the interactive portion of the show, submitting your questions, submitting your song,
and
social media links.
Do we have a link to the YouTube channel?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I hope so, because, you know, sometimes I'll cruise that. And I'm shocked at how few views some of those videos have.
Maybe it's appreciated in our lifetime.
Yeah, maybe it's just me who thinks some of those are hilarious and weird. But Go to the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
A lot of weird original productions there.
There's actually a videos tab on the site that I need to update. But yeah, it's all there. All there for you.
I mean, there's Paul Stanley bowling during his Folgers commercial.
Yeah.
There's
the See You at 10 to Midnight is an absolute classic. I mean,
and
how does that not have 30 million views? It boggles the mind.
With bonus Vendetta footage at the end.
Yeah, watch that one all the way to the end.
Then the video that should have been on the Dial MTV show back in the mid late 80s, the I'm a Legend Tonight.
Love that video.
From which was as though it were on the soundtrack for the movie Short Circuit 2.
Yes. Just works.
It works perfectly.
5 minutes alone video. It's incredible. Another one that you need to watch the whole thing. Just when you think it's over, another scenario comes at you. Perfectly executed.
It's all there.
Lots of strange things.
All right, well, that'll do it for today. We'll be back next week.
This is the Pod of Thunder. Get ready for the rockin' show. This is the Pod of Thunder. Whoa, with Chris Elnick and Andy Jones.
On bananas is a new low.
The lyrics could be stupid, but if there's something interesting musically going on with them, then you can appreciate it.
Yeah, so like you said, I never really paid attention to it to that level. Like I said, I just heard it the one time, but absolutely devoid of any melody or hooks or anything.
Yeah.
No, they didn't name another song that fits that description. I can't off the top of my head.